The following podcast is a Super Network production with your hosts, Super Marcy.
Look at it, it's so cute.
The terrible Australian, Bea Jemine.
As Nicolas Cage, I should have played Tom Sawyer in this movie. But then they asked me and I was like, that's too typical of a role. I actually want to play the role of the submarine.
It contains coarse and explicit language.
That was a at the time.
Mature themes.
I mean, if the octopus in Aquaman can do it, so can Adam Sandler.
And potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
For more, please visit supermarcy.com and show your support at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Enjoy the show.
Life doesn't have to be ugly. Look at the birds out there. Listen to their call. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee.
This is the story of Beverly Sutphen.
Scramble eggs, anybody?
A devoted mother.
I'm so happy I could chip. You know how I hate the brown word.
A loving wife.
You think the kids are awake?
We could be very quiet.
I'm ready!
Honey, you're hot tonight.
And a suspected murderer.
Oh, kids, are you doing your homework?
How did America's number one mom turn into one of America's most wanted? Is she really guilty?
Are you a serial killer?
Chip, the only cereal I know anything about is Rice Krispies.
Is she the only one with a motive?
Believe that damn litter bugger.
Give her a happy face.
Or is there someone else?
I'm stood up. I'll kill that jerk.
With an axe to grind.
Oh. Now I'll never get a boyfriend.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Super Podcast, the flagship show at the Super Network at supermarcy.com. I am your host, Super Marcy, and we have a very excellent episode for everybody today as we are back with our Facebook group, fan-voted audio commentary for the month of June. And joining me, as usual, for most of these podcasts we have on the Super Network is the terrible Australian, Bea Jemine. Hello, Bea. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Marcy. How are you?
Doing well. Very excited for tonight's entertainment. Very excited indeed. Yes.
Indeed. Because for this month's audio, a fan-voted audio commentary edition, we picked quite a good topic for this one. And before we could actually reveal it, we had a very special guest joining us tonight.
We do. We have a very big fan of the topic that we had for our poll. And he's also a very good friend of ours and a fellow podcaster. So please welcome Tony Meekus to the show. Hello, Tony. How are you?
Woo! Hello. Thank you for the invite and thank you for having me on this show. I'm really looking forward to this episode. I can't wait.
Very excited to have you join us. You were previously on an episode earlier this year with us, and that was a very fun, good time. And for those who may not know, you currently are running Imprint Cast, which is all about the boutique label Imprint films. So
yes,
very exciting.
Yes, I was happy to have you both on the last couple of episodes before. That was great.
It was a lot
discussing the it was discussing the July titles. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait for those.
Yeah,
can't wait to have you both on again soon.
Yes, very exciting. It's always good to be a collector of physical media because, you know, we love our movies and we love to have access to those movies.
Yeah,
exactly. And being that this is May, Imprint has quite a lot of good stuff coming out in the next few weeks. And if fingers crossed, if the rumors are true, there might be a buy one, get one free sale at JB Hi-Fi for a few weeks. So fingers crossed that happens.
He's hoping.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll know by the time this episode airs. It probably is happening, so we're probably a little bit out of date. But
there's always time for a special at JB, and I need to correct myself. I said this is the episode for June, and I meant to say May. I'm apparently a whole month ahead of myself, so whoopsie doodle. My mistake. I meant May. It's already May. Yes. So the topic for May, for May's poll was John Waters, as we know, very awesome filmmaker. And the choices that we had on the poll were out of Hairspray, Cecil B. Demented, A Dirty Shame, Polyester, Pink Flamingos, and the one that had the most votes that we are watching today, Serial Mom.
Indeed.
Yes.
And I'm slightly disappointed that A Dirty Shame didn't win, but I suppose we can't have everything, unfortunately.
I'm a little too happy Serial Mom won.
Well, don't get me wrong, all those movies are fun, but I would have loved a 70s trash film personally. But either way, I love Serial Mom, and I'm happy with that one, so looking forward to it.
Yes.
Yes.
I have a lot of love for this film, and as we watch it, I will definitely tell you guys about it. Bede, for those listening, do you want to just run them down if they want to watch the movie while they listen to the commentary? How the commentary works, and then we'll count down the film and get going.
Indeed. For all those out there who've never listened to our previous episodes, our audio commentary episodes of the Super Podcast, first of all, how dare you? but what you need to do is go find a copy of Serial Mom, because the movie is available on DVD, Blu-ray, but it's also streaming as well. So if it is available in your neck of the woods, pick it up, and we're going to be watching the film from the very start, and I'm going to count us down from five, and then when I say go, that's when you play the movie. However, based on all of our previous audio commentaries, if you don't have a copy of this film, or if you're not interested in checking out the film and just at all, I'm pretty sure the episode on its own will still be a fun listen to regardless. But that being said, though, this is Serial Mom, and it is John Waters. People need to watch this movie, damn it.
They do. They do. Absolutely. You should be watching all of John Waters' movies.
Exactly. He is an international treasure.
Mm-hmm. He's a worldwide treasure.
He's a dirty international treasure, but that's beside the point. But anyways,
that's why we love him.
Exactly. But we'll get straight to it.
Yes.
Now, Marcy, Tony, are you ready to make a killing with Serial Mom?
Yes.
Get on.
Let's do this. Counting down from five, and when I say go, we play the movie.
All right.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Let's hope it plays. It is playing.
Yes.
We have
Universal Studios.
Universal, oh my gosh, I can't even brain. My brain fails me once again.
It's always funny to me, like, John Waters, as a director who is kind of best known for being one of the most popular indie filmmakers of all time, who's got a very distinct style of filmmaking and approach to all of his films. But everyone kind of seems to forget there was a period where he was making studio movies.
Yeah.
Serial Mom was one of them.
And apparently...
Sure was.
And apparently this is a true story.
Yes, apparently. Allegedly.
Well, for you Serial Mom fans, you do know the real answer to that one.
This is almost as true as the true story in Fargo. And it's still going, this crawl.
To be fair, I have not seen this for quite a little while, but... along with the other film of John Waters that we actually have done a commentary for, which was Crybaby, which won a poll. I think it was last year or the year before.
Yeah, it was last year. It was actually our musical themed month episode.
I think between having seen Crybaby and then this film, that was my introduction to John Waters. And it wasn't until I got a bit older, because I was like 10 when this came out and used to watch it all the time. It wouldn't be till I was more like in my teenage years that I would discover more John Waters films, because I probably wouldn't want to be watching Pink Flamingos at 10.
I'm Imagine if that was like your first introduction to John Waters was Pink Flamingos.
At 10.
Yes. I was keep forgetting, like, this movie has a very stacked cast.
Mmm. It does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Patty Hearst.
Has Patty Hearst. Come on. You can't go wrong with Patty Hearst.
Has Suzanne Summers.
Exactly.
I totally forgot that I wasn't until was doing the poll and getting everything ready to launch the poll for the film that I totally forgot that Matthew Lillard and Ricky Lake were in this, because as we know, Ricky Lake was in quite a few John Waters movies.
Oh yeah. And even and she was also in Crybaby as well, and I believe like Serial Mom was like one of Matthew Lillard's first big major roles. Like, he had been in a couple of things prior in small bit parts, but this is like one of his first big major roles.
Mm.
Yes, that's right.
And then he would, of course, break out a lot more with Scream a couple of years later.
Yeah. Indeed.
And I think everybody these days can relate to Serial Mom.
Well, if you have a mother who loves you so much and will do whatever they can to protect you, which also includes murdering the odd person here and there, that's fine.
That's totally how I operate all the time.
One of the things I love about John Waters as a filmmaker, particularly sort of his 80s and 90s period, is like he really kind of gets that sort of 50s, 60s aesthetic. But really twists it on its head to make something either very dark, but very funny, and also very gross and weird as well. Because this feels like this kitchen scene feels like it could be out of the Brady Bunch.
or it could even be Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Very much like that.
Yeah, Leave It to Beaver, and also of course, with Polyester as well as this one, he was influenced by Douglas Sirk. So that was you can tell from the from the scenery, it's Douglas Sirk inspired, absolutely. Mom, we all have our bad
days. You probably did. And I think we all can just relate to just living in the suburbs and getting a little angry at everything.
Mm-hmm. We can.
Oh, okay. So according to IMDb, this was Matthew Lillard's first film, but I know for a fact that's a lie because he had a small minor part in a movie, Marcy, you and I watched during lockdown, Ghoulies Free, Ghoulies Go to College.
But what came out first?
I think it might have... You know what? I better find out. I'm going to find out what came first. I honestly think it might have been Ghoulies Free.
Best to be accurate.
Yes
exactly.
That's a bloody fly.
Yeah, Ghoulies Free came out first, and that was his first film, and this was his second.
Yeah, but I guess this is more of him in sort of like a co-starring.
Yeah. Like, to be fair, in Ghoulies Free, it was like a very minor role where he's basically just in the group of friends, but he was in the background. I don't think he even had a line or anything like that from what I remember of that movie.
Mm. I actually forgot the husband dad character was Sam Waterston. I'd forgotten that again.
Sam Waterston from Law and Order in a John Waters movie.
Right.
It's perfect.
I have to say, I agree. I knew, like, you know, Kathleen Turner was in this movie. I knew that Matthew Lillard was in this movie. And of course, obviously, Ricky Lake is in this movie, but I completely forgot. Because it has been quite a while since I've seen this film that Sam Waterston was in this film as well.
Yeah, it wasn't until, again, putting the poll together, I was like, oh, yeah, he was in this movie. And I do... okay, you pussy.
Sorry. I just love John Waters' dialogue. Even if it's written, I'll get you pussy face. Mm. I love it.
Oh, so good. I was going to say, I do love Kathleen Turner in this. I think she's just perfectly cast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think John Waters wanted her from the beginning. Since writing the screenplay, he really wanted her to be a part of it. So instead of, he did something unusual from what I watched in one of his interviews with Kathleen Turner. He took a train from Baltimore to New York, a four hour ride, and handed her the script himself to make sure she gets it and she reads it and she accepts the role here and there.
Oh wow! I did not know that.
I am really put off by Justin Whalen's hair just a second ago.
What? It's the typical 90s young man.
But it was like,
hair.
It's not even. Yeah, but it's not even. See, look at it. It's not even the boy band haircut.
No, you're
it's
right.
Like. It's like two bits of hair going in a completely different direction.
Oh, here comes the sleazy boyfriend, you know, who won't accept Missy for who she is.
He's got the same hairdo, too.
What is up with this weird hair?
He does. Oh, yeah, he does. It must be the 1994 hairdo.
It must have been. I had totally, like, again, I haven't seen this for so long. All the little references, like the Pee Wee doll there, they mentioned Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think everything subliminally just got to me when I watched this when I was 10.
Yeah. Like, Matthew Lillard's character, he's an assistant manager at a video store, and he loves horror movies, and that's what I used to be back in that time. I used to be an assistant manager at Civic Video, then I became a manager at Blockbuster, and I'm obsessed with horror, but I won't play it in the store, obviously. Mm. Oh, here we go. 9:37 a.m. Probably the second best phone call from a John Waters film ever. I'll explain the first one in a sec. I just got to hear the first bit. Oh, God.
Fuck you.
Marcy, that's what you do in your spare time, don't you?
Yeah, I ring you and say, is this a 212? Fuck you.
Yeah, I think you might have actually did that yesterday.
It's good to prepare.
I remember quoting this movie when we were like 10 or 11. Probably wasn't the best thing to be tweeting, quoting.
Oh, Mary Jo Catlett, here she is. No, from those of you who grew in the 80s, probably know her as Pearl, the housekeeper Pearl from Different Strokes. Or... for the children of nowadays, she's Mrs. Puff from SpongeBob SquarePants. And yes, I watch it. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Excuse me, who doesn't love SpongeBob? And yeah,
no, of course. Yeah, and as I said earlier, I consider this to be the second best phone call from a John Waters film. The first phone call was from a film that he did in 1977 called Desperate Living. I don't know if you both have seen that one.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Long
ago. You have to. The phone call with that one, it's with Meek Stoll again, who actually does the phone call, who answers the phone in Desperate Living, and as well as this one. She actually says to the, and I can quote this dialogue verbatim, literally, like, hello? What number are you calling? You dialed the wrong number. Sorry, what good is that? How can you ever repay the 30 seconds you have stolen from my life? That line kills me. But you have to hear Mick Stoll. You have to hear Mick Stoll do it. But this phone call is memorable too. I love it.
Cocksucker. This movie certainly taught me a lot of colourful language, and I'm forever thankful for it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's the scissors.
So, yeah, this is probably my very first John Waters film I've ever seen also, but because I've seen the first time I've noticed John Waters was The Simpsons, when they played the Simpsons episode Homer's Phobia.
Yes.
I've heard of him, obviously, and of course, everyone's heard of Pink Flamingos and Female Trouble. But then, I don't know if you notice, and when you watch his animated character for the first time, how you see a pink flamingo in the background of the store and everything in homage to his films. This Serial Mum was my very first John Waters film, and ever since then, I was obsessed. Well, of course, as you know, Pink Flamingos is kind of officially banned in Australia, but easy to get. The Criterion Collection is releasing it on Blu-ray in the month or so. So for its 50th anniversary, come out for that.
That's insane.
Come out for that.
That's insane, but awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also Criterion released one of his lost masterpieces called Multiple Maniacs. Have you seen that one?
I haven't. No.
Oh boy. If you think Pink Flamingos is bad, I think Multiple Maniacs is worse. it's much more crazier. It's in black and white. Yeah, it's in black and white, and there is a sequences of in a church, which I won't reveal now unless you watch it. It's, if you're religious, don't watch it. I'm telling you now.
The more blasphemous, the better.
Absolutely, I agree completely. With John in the Dreamland world. Absolutely.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, with and of course his regulars, and of course the late great Divine was in it, playing Lady Divine. And of course in Pink Flamingos, Female Trouble. That's probably my favourite in the 70s era. Now, what's your favourite John Waters film from the 70s been?
Ooh. I think outside of Pink Flamingos, I haven't seen anything from that period. Like, I've seen stuff from, of course, the 80s and 90s and 2000s, but those are the ones I say. But I guess if I had to pick a favorite John Waters film, I would have to say Polyester. That's probably my favorite one. That one I really enjoyed a lot. But I think But I was trying to remember, like, what my first John Waters film was. Like, again, like you, Tony, I first became aware of John Waters through The Simpsons when he guest starred on the Homer's Phobia episode. But in terms of the actual first film of his I've seen, it's either, this film or A Dirty Shame was my first John Waters film.
Wow. Dirty Shame.
Actually, now that I think about, maybe Pekka might have been an early one. Maybe, I'm not sure. It's either one of those three.
Yeah, Pekka was a good one. I've always liked Pekka. I know I didn't get much of a good rap, but I quite enjoyed that one. Marcy, we all know Serial Mom's your favourite, Marcy, and what's another one you like?
This is why I was pretty excited for doing John Waters Month, was to just an excuse to rewatch one of his films, because it has been a while. Because I think Pink Flamingos is just so outrageous. It's so iconic. But things like Female Trouble, and as Bede mentioned, like Polyester, Desperate Living, I think they're all very kind of classical, and I think Hairspray definitely something that's really iconic. But I think probably this one being maybe my favorite is because I think it was one of those first ones I saw, or maybe it was between that and maybe it's hard to remember, but I think because I have a sick and twisted sense of humor, even as a 10-year-old, this film just appealed to me so much. Like, it hit every kind of comedic note that just makes me laugh.
Here we go. Blood Feast. Herschel Gordon was Blood Feast.
This movie I have seen.
So have I. Oh, man. The Citizen Kane of gore movies, yes, I agree with that line.
I got him laughing now because, like, basically there was a very similar scene to this also in Juno as well, because they were also watching. It was either Bloodfeast or Wizard of Gore. I can't remember in that film.
One of the two, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the two. But even then, it was like they talked about, oh, yeah, this is one of the goriest films ever.
There's the poster in the background.
That's right, where then Elliot Page was saying, Dario Argento is the master of horror. And then Jason Bateman goes, he's all right, but if you're seeing Herschel Gordon Lewis, he's demented, which I agree. I love Argento and, of course, Herschel Gordon Lewis. But, yeah, Lewis beats him hands down.
Mm. It's chalk but, and cheese, essentially, yeah. with what they make. But, yeah. Herschel Gordon Lewis just didn't hold back, eh?
Oh, no, he didn't. Mm. He didn't.
Definitely not.
Mm. And
with John Waters, I showed my partner. She wanted to see a John Waters film, and I thought, yeah, this is her first film too, Serial Mum.
Yeah, there you go.
She really enjoyed it, but then she wanted to go to the outrageous stuff, and she saw Pink Flamingos recently.
Oh, how did
her choice?
How did that go?
Her choice, not mine. She actually preferred it over Female Trouble, which I'm surprised.
Oh, wow,
at.
Okay.
Yeah, I prefer Female Trouble, but don't get me wrong, Pink Flamingos is great, but yeah, she loved Pink Flamingos more, and I thought, okay, she must have a more twisted side than I do, and I'm loving every second of it.
maybe she's interacted with us a bit too much.
Oh, I think I kind of corrupted her as well.
I think you did. We're the weirdos who could just watch this weird shit and just be like, yeah, whatever. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. You know? I hate the brown word. Oh, goodness. Oh. such a Mrs. Cleaver mother.
One thing I always remembered about this movie is the Justin Whalen character being obsessed with women and boobs and pussy and boobs.
Yep.
Oh, my God. As a kid, you remember those things?
Yes.
It's like, so, boys are obsessed with boobies. Okay, got it. I'll remember that for life.
Well, when you're younger, you know, you're growing up and you're trying to, and you're in puberty, you got to watch some kind of boobies and some pussy on screen, so...
Wait a minute, so the teacher was 38 years old, he looked like he was in his 60s.
I was thinking the same thing, but we know what we say on the Tubi Tuesdays podcast. That's a hard He's a Canadian hard... 38.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's like your car, Beverly.
I'm not that bad a driver, Beverly. Or whatever. I'm getting the names wrong, probably.
Oh, it's okay. That was all over the place.
Now, I don't like Ricky Lake's in this film, but was this around the time she started hosting her talk show as well?
I believe her show was started in 1996, and this was 1994. Yeah. So,
I was trying to
think. 2 years prior.
Mm. Yeah, I was trying to think when the actual talk show started. And
oh, look at that Bird Book.
Birds.
I love that Bird Book she's reading, and she's reading about Charles Manson.
A woman just like me. So good.
Yeah, I'm going to say, Marcy, aren't you obsessed reading about serial killers and listening to the serial killer
I was obsessed with all the true crime stuff way before it became a thing. Everybody copied me. Mm. I started
well,
the trend. Everybody.
Well, this movie, John Waters, he actually wrote this film because of his obsession with courtrooms. He, with court cases, in the 70s, he went to literally every single trial.
Mm.
And I do know with the, from what I've read, he went to the Manson case every day.
Oh, wow.
And he became, and he's friends with one of the members of the Manson family. I think he's been friends with a couple of them.
Leslie Van Houten,
that's right. And because he wrote the book, he wrote this book called Role Models, and she was one of them. And it's a good book, and she who writes about his his friendship with her, and always believed that she was brainwashed in a way, which of course she was.
All right.
Oh, here we go.
Clarification, the Ricky Lake talk shows first aired in September 93.
Oh,
93, yeah. Okay.
So she probably filmed this before or around the time of starting it.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I thought
oh my gosh. It was similar. May 15th, that was 2 days ago at the time of this recording.
Actually,
yes.
So, first aired, September 13th.
It finished May 21st, 2004. So almost at the end anniversary of Ricky Lake.
Yeah, 11 years. But it was a good run.
Mm, I used to watch Ricky Lake every day.
Hello? Oh, so did I.
Because I was trying to remember, like, I think maybe I'd seen her show first and then saw that she was an actress. Because she was in this and Crybaby as well, and then obviously discovering more.
Of course, her first film was another John Waters film, Hairspray. She was the original Tracy Turnblad, so...
And that was a one I saw till a bit later as well.
Like, when I watch a John Waters film, I always go to the hard R-rated stuff, like, Hairspray! I like Hairspray, but it's too PG for me. Because even though it is PG rated, I still every time I watch a John Waters film, I have to go to the hard R stuff. I love it.
I think this one hits a fine line between sort of being more PG, but not really.
Well, it is R rated in America, but here in Australia, it's rated M. So.
And that's the thing, like, on the surface you think, oh, this is more kind of, yeah. Maybe it's designed for a younger audience. Not really.
No.
I mean, while being young, there's quite a bit of... but still.
Good morning, Mrs. Sutphen. Hi, Detective. Yeah, there is quite a bit of violence in this film, as we know.
Yeah.
And, of course, a bit of sexual references, but either way, all fun.
Yeah. What really makes this work is, I think, it's the comedic timing and it's the script. How everything is delivered. It's just so... It's so on point. It just... gets me every time. And the way she just turns, like, from, you know, perfect housewife to... cocksucker! It's so good.
Oh, it's great. Detectives, what is this all about? Just loving this movie. I'm just mesmerized by it. You know, watch it over and over and over again, even though we can talk through it.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I'm actually enjoying this. Being my very first commentary podcast. It's fun.
You're welcome.
Thank you both, absolutely, for the opportunity. And of course, being John Waters, one of my film idols, I can't thank you both enough for that.
Well, I'm glad we were able to make it work, that you could join us. And, I think over the past year or so, I think we found ourselves a few times just kind of being mesmerized by the movie we're watching because we haven't seen it for so long.
Yes.
Here we go, looking at the magazines again.
And, of course, the P word is missing from the from the word premiere.
As in people who don't mind their own business.
Oh, I love her. Love Kathleen Turner in this movie.
She's so good. She really is.
But also with Kathleen Turner, this is one of the best roles, absolutely. I think hands it is, down. Yeah. Of course.
She's just perfect.
I don't know if you saw... Have you seen Crimes of Passion? Ken Russell's one?
Oh, that one I haven't yet. I don't think. Yeah.
You should watch that one as well. That performance is outrageous. It's Ken Russell. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Ah, Barry Manilow, Daybreak.
And I think growing up, recycling. Like, she was in a lot of stuff that I saw growing, like, obviously this, I do distinctly remember she played Stacey Lavelle in the Malibu Stacey / Lisa Lionheart episode.
Yep.
And I did see...
Which I'm
sorry... Yes?
Which I'm sorry to say, I think is one of the worst episodes of The Simpsons. I'm probably going to get backlash for it, but... The only good thing about that episode was Smithers turning on his computer and you see the screensaver. Hello, Smithers.
You're quite good at turning me on. You know, you
That's it. That's the best thing from the movie, from the episode for me.
Other movies I remember like seeing when I was younger was one that we should all really appreciate. Peggy Sue Got Married, because of course Mr. Coge is in that film.
Of course, directed by directed by his uncle, Francis Ford Coppola.
Yes. And I do remember what's the movie? Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile as well. Growing up. So yeah, she was kind of just very much, you know, that person. And she voiced Jessica Rabbit.
Can't forget that one. But one of my favorite performances of Kathleen Turner, I'll before you, I want to hear this line. Serial hags.
God, so good.
I love Joan Rivers. She goes, serial hags, women who love men who mutilate. Good God.
Well, shall we miss
Rivers? I was saying, I know, may she rest in peace.
Well,
my favorite Kathleen Turner roles will have to be The War of the Roses.
Oh, I was going
to
mention that. I remember that as well, yeah.
That one was just nuts. One of the funniest, darkest comedies I've ever seen.
It really still is.
Oh, here we go. Are those pussy willows? Pussy willows?
I remember saying that all the time. Pussy willows.
Oh my goodness! What are you doing? I love it. Faberge egg. Egg.
She really don't like Dottie.
What do you expect? What do you expect? She took a parking spot. How could you not like her?
And also, like, Dottie's got weird hair too. Let's just face it.
I love Mink Stole, who plays Dottie Hinkle. Mm. She's in every John Waters film. I absolutely adore her.
She's great. I don't like this.
I was going to say, Marcy, this is not one of your favourite scenes ever.
No, I don't. No, anything to do with dentists, piss off.
Oh, well, I guess Marathon Man is not for you then.
Took me a long time to get. Took me a long time to get the guts to actually watch the movie The Dentist.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's Bess Armstrong, who plays the nurse, the dental nurse. She was in Jaws 3, and also she was in another John Waters movie in Pecker. She played that the child social worker, you know, who tries to give Pecker's sister off sugar.
See, Pecker, I know you mentioned it before. I haven't seen that for ages either.
Yeah, I haven't seen Pecker in a while either, but that's what I should watch.
Why do those teeth on the wall look sexy? That tooth looks like it's got sexy legs and a bum.
Vincent Perenio's set. Oh, man. He's another original Dreamlander who works on every John Waters film as a set designer. Van Smith, of course, that does the costumes and makeup. My goodness. I just love this film. I can just watch it all day.
I know.
Right? Is your wife mental? That's a good question.
Is your wife mental? Hey, we don't ask her these things anymore.
No, we don't.
But if John Borders asks it, then it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Fine.
John Borders can do whatever he wants.
I was going to say, he can do whatever he wants,
here we go.
Oh, Tracy Lords.
Tracy Lords.
We've watched a lot of Tracy Lords for the podcasts.
I bet.
And the legitimate stuff, not the other stuff.
True.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't have, like, a lipstick ray gun in this movie, unfortunately.
She needs a lipstick ray gun in everything, though.
Yes. I don't like any of these dolls. They creep me out.
Oh, what a naughty, naughty.
Naughty woman.
She wants $2 off it, really?
Ah, well. $3?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, Jason Bourne, she was in Crybaby as well, wasn't she? Yes.
Oh, yeah, she was. And I think she might have been in another John Waters film, but I can't remember.
I'll leave looking up with you.
Yes, mm-hmm. I will do some extensive research on Tracy Lords right now.
Yes. And to think, Tommy Knockers came Franklin out before Mintz. This.
Exactly.
It came out, it did come out before this. On my bedroom shelf. Oh, God. I don't know. How do you not? You just can't help but love John Waters, his movies, his books. Have you read any of his books?
I haven't, actually. I'm trying to think of what it is called. I'm going to have to look up. I'm going to have to go on my IMDb.
Which one?
John Waters was in Law and Order SVU more recently as Pornmonger Man.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Amazing.
John Waters was in Law and Order SVU. That was hilarious. You couldn't take that seriously.
Amazing.
And then, of course, John Waters recently, I don't know if you saw the Ryan Murphy show Feud, Betty and Joan.
Oh, yes. No, I did when it came out, yes.
Yeah, he played William Castle.
Mm.
That was funny. Because if you saw what William Castle really looked like and John Waters playing him, totally different. But it's all in fun because it's basically... Because we know John Waters loved William Castle movies. He was obsessed with them.
Mm, definitely.
Oh, geez, that's a glory hole right there.
There's a glory hole in the men's room. Lovely.
Who put that there?
Wait, there's a girl at the other store. I better get out of here.
I distinctly remember this part so much.
Yeah, it's so dumb. My microphone fell out of my ear.
I'm trying to think of... I love this. She fucks up and it's just funny.
tries to take out the liver of the pumpkin seal.
It just doesn't want to get off. So great that I snorted.
Well, nothing wrong with you snorting. It's fine. Here we go. Oh, she slipped.
Oopsie doodle.
Very soon you'll hear a very famous scream. Of course she has to flush the toilet.
Well, wouldn't we all flush it on him? To be fair.
Look at this dude's beard.
What is that?
Fucking darn nuts.
That beard is...
Oh, here we go. The famous scream. You're hearing commercials.
There it is.
That's the thing, though. It's not the Willem scream. I don't know what that type of scream is called, though.
It's the Iron Man scream. I don't know if you ever saw the commercials for Iron Man breakfast cereal.
Yes, that's right.
That's the Iron Man scream. Oh, he's got doo doo on his skin.
Oh no!
Red doo doo. Fascinating.
I was trying to think of the movie about John Waters. It was This Filthy World.
That's a documentary, yeah.
That's a stage show that he's done.
Yeah, but they filmed it as... I call it a documentary, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
I do know what you mean.
Yeah, that was really interesting, really good. Like, he's very fascinating to just listen to.
I saw him... Well, I actually saw the This Filthy World show in Sydney.
Mm.
I saw him three times. Like, saw This Filthy World twice and met him... Got a lot of Blu-rays and DVDs signed, and then Then the second time I saw the show, then the third time he was in Sydney, he was hosting a film festival.
Mm.
It's called John Waters Double Features from Hell.
I so do it's basically, remember when that happened,
Yeah, I went to all of them. I had to. Oh, wow. I could not go to that one.
Mm.
Like, the first night was Shock, which was Irreversible and Antichrist. Good double.
Yeah, what a
and then there was two. And there was two on a Saturday. The first one was called Terror, which was Paul Greengrass's United 93 and Cecil B. Demented.
Hmm.
And after that was something called Goddess. Goddess was Boom with Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton.
Oh yeah.
And the second one was called Fuego. It's a Spanish Argentinian film with Isabel Starley, one of his goddesses. He loved her. Mm-hmm. If you watch the film, you'll understand why.
Ah.
And then the last night he did the Stex double feature. And of course the first film was before we do, I just want to hear this bit. Here's the Charles Manson cameo, voiced by none other than Ted Bundy, sorry. Voiced by John Waters himself.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And, yeah, Ted Bundy. And the fourth double feature was Sex. That was the first film was a documentary called Zoo.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Straitjacket. I love Straitjacket. Probably my favourite William Castle film.
Yeah, speaking of William Castle.
And Joan Crawford. Oh, no!
Bam. Bam. Yeah, and this... Our mother is Charles Manson. The first one was Zoo, and the documentary about a fascinating documentary about horses. Mm. So I'm not going to go any further into that.
Yes,
you can get the image.
Yes.
And the second one was A Dirty Shame.
Oh.
But all in all, that weekend was phenomenal. That I loved every moment of it.
Yeah, that would have been quite an experience.
Mm, it was. And then the last time he was here in Sydney was before COVID hit, and it was his new This Filthy World show, and when I met him in person again, got my Criterion Blu-ray signed by him and talked about Isabel Sarli from Fuego.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun. It was great.
That's pretty
awesome. One thing I can honestly say about John Waters, he may have a twisted mind, but he is one of the most kindest, nicest gentlemen you'll ever meet.
Yeah, he does seem like that. Which I think
it's funny is though. So that, yeah, it's. But this is fascinating that people we know, you know, like, come on, we all love sick, twisted stuff on television, on film, and crazy craziness. But we are honestly, we're not like that.
Yeah. We are just regular, lovely people who just happen to like watching fucked up movies.
That's true. One of my oldest friends, who I'm still friends with to this day, she was terrified of me for the first 10 years since we started, since my friendship.
Oh, no.
Because I love horror films, she thought I was going to grow up to be a serial killer.
Yeah, people probably thought that about me because I liked horror. I read about serial killers. Those damn pussy willows.
Here we go.
It's
been a crazy day. Uh-oh. Would you excuse me for a moment?
Sam Waterston's face. Oh, God.
Don't set her off or she'll murder people.
Yeah. I relate to that. I mean, no, I don't.
Ah, here we go.
A good old station wagon.
I love how none of them have moved.
It's like, shall we stay here and finish dinner or go after her?
Mm.
I think go after her.
I mean, I'd probably eat dinner and then go after her, but that's me.
Well, I guess it's one
She's
of my...
Gone.
But one of my pet peeves in movies, like people sitting down to have dinner and they don't actually finish the dinner. And it looks delicious.
To be fair, if they need to do so many takes, you might like eat all the food, then you gotta have more food, then you get really chunky that, you know, you're just eating so much food.
Well, that is true.
Oh, here we go. Smiling while driving, and then she's going to turn on the radio, and Barry Manilow is back. Okay, come on. Barry Manilow is back. Where are you?
Oh, this is so good, though. It really is.
I think this movie is like the prequel to Scream because, you know, Matthew Lillard, that's probably why he became a serial killer in Scream.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Probably.
It makes sense. He,
Here we go. Daybreak.
Yeah. Beware of anyone listening to Barry Manilow.
Oh.
What?
Especially if you're Barry Manilow.
Especially if you drive a
Station there's nothing wrong with Barry Manilow. He's written some incredible songs.
Very.
He has.
Vetatrol.
Here we go.
We
hope so, son. If mum is psycho. No matter what your mother is, we'll love her anyway. Of course.
How lovely. Serial killer acceptance.
You gotta think, you gotta remember, she loves you no matter what, and she's doing this all for you.
She doesn't like teenage perverts who watch pornography.
Hey, it's not his fault she likes pornography.
Morgan.
Jesse
Morgan. I believe this is Deadly Weapon.
They are deadly weapons.
And that movie and that movie is actually quite outrageous. It's quite good.
They're not cutting their chicken properly.
I mean, that's just gross. I don't want to watch that.
Well, I guess my other second pet peeve, I love eating food, but I do not like when movies do close-ups of food being eaten.
I think that's the point. Gross. I think that's the point for this specific reason.
It's supposed to look unappealing.
Watching chicken. Watching chicken up close, chicken up close is pretty disgusting.
Yes, and that isn't even the grossest thing I've seen with food for any one of our podcasts. Thank you, Phantasm, and Phantasm comes again.
That is true.
Oh, come on. Yeah, with Chesty Morgan, can you believe her breasts are real. They're not fake. It's all real. Mm. 73,
32, 36. That's some big boobs.
Big boobs, indeed.
Like I said, they are the deadly weapons.
For those of you who love big breasts, watch Chesty Morgan and Deadly Weapons. It's a good one.
I kind of want to watch it, just to see it.
There you go, Marcy. You can watch it for your other show after
dark. I could, actually. Yeah.
Deadly Weapons.
Oh, I don't know if that's an after dark thing, but give it a go.
If it teaches me how to use boobs as a deadly weapon, I'm in.
Oh, boy. Probably the most craziest masturbation scene ever.
It really is so weird. And no wonder this has been ingrained in my memory.
I don't even know why he's even doing it that way.
I don't know how he's meant to be doing it.
It's in the script. Just do it how it's done. How it's written.
Just be as weird as possible. Oh, gosh. This is why this movie's just the best.
It's brilliant.
It's so random, I love it.
Pat Sajak and Vanna White.
See Pat Sajak in something recently, Marcy. I'm pretty sure we did for one of our commentaries.
I can't remember because I'm sure we did.
I'm going to find out because I'm pretty sure we saw him in something recently.
You'll have to look it up because I can't remember.
I will look it up right now.
Mice in the Shoebox.
I'm going to assume Deadly Weapons is not a porno, or is it?
It's not. Scissor Murder.
I mean, he's scissoring himself right now.
A stabbing, a belch, and a and a wave. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Fascinating cut.
That visual of her in the cupboard or the wardrobe is so good. It's utterly brilliant, and then
that smile is amazing.
Then the scissors, and then, as I said, what's his name was just scissoring himself, I think.
Ew.
Because I don't know how he's freaking jacking off in there.
Justin Long gives the best facial expression right now.
Yes.
The best facial expression. Oh.
That's as bad as, like, American Pie when they walk in on him or whatever.
Oh, I know.
Ah!
Oh, she missed.
See, I'm pretty sure the movie, was Inside got the scissors from this movie.
Probably.
Inside is the stealth remake of this movie.
Of course. Somehow.
Death by air conditioner.
You can say now he's dead cold.
Oh, fuck off.
Dead cold. He's stone cold dead.
Stone cold exactly. Dead, indeed.
Strawberries for dessert.
So she just killed the parents. It's like, okay, masturbating weirdo stays there.
Oh, we're getting closer to today.
Oh god, I don't even remember. Oh, look at all the police.
Reminds me of the O.J. Simpson trial.
Oh god, that was. But a
I think that was shot. Oh, I know. All these police cars following the Sutphen family. Don't remind you of the O.J. Circus. O.J. Circus, yeah.
Are we sure they have enough police cars? Like, they're not being obvious at all.
No.
Not even slightly.
See, if we stand back at least another 10 feet, she won't notice we're following her.
Oh god, a current affair.
Ugh.
Oh, I love this bit coming up now. The Sutphen family stop at the red light, and the car right next to them, she gives them a lovely smile, and bam.
This movie is just great.
Oh, it is.
It's so good to rewatch it with my two good buddies.
Oh, thank you. It's great watching it with you also.
And everybody can listen to what we think about the movie and all random things that we talk about.
I'm sort of trying to look up. I'm looking up Pat Sajak, but I guess hasn't been in anything in any other things we've seen recently. I might have mistaken him with someone else.
Yeah, maybe, because I couldn't really think of what it could have been. So there you go. Now you can talk some more, Bede.
Yes.
Yes, please talk.
I'm trying to, but I don't know what to say.
She lives at Cocksucker Lane. Or whatever.
Cocksucker Lane. That's a nice one. Is it menopause?
Well, that's what causes it, right, Marcy? If women go on homicidal murder sprees, it's because of menopause, right?
Oh, totally. That's exactly how it works.
Here we go. I love this smile.
Her face when she's honey, you need some psychiatric help.
Something tells me these cops are being subtle.
No.
A little.
Not at all.
Meanwhile, at church.
Well, she's got to repent for her sins, right?
Well, that is true. She needs to do at least about She's due about at least 10 Hail Marys and then about at least 4 of the strokes on the rosary beads.
You stroke rosary beads? I don't think that's how
Catholicism works. See, you got your rosary beads, you do your Hail Marys, and then you do your Our Fathers. You got to do that with each bead on the rosary bead.
Yes, you got to keep doing the Hail Marys, and when you get to the one that's on its own, that's an Our Father. I know, because I used to be Catholic. I used to have several rosary beads. I don't know why.
I still have mine, so.
Oh, church. The place to worship and also the place to gossip.
Mm-hmm. It's the number one place to gossip, I'm pretty sure.
Can we take a photo to put you in the church newsletter?
Capital punishment and you.
Today's sermon. Oh, God.
Oh, man, I love this movie. I can just...
Like we said, John Waters is a treasure.
Oh, yes.
An absolute treasure. Ah, so good.
I got that there just has like the Justin Bieber haircut.
Because I'm, like, trying to do, like, podcast as well as watch the movie. I'm so, like, I think I messed up half of the plot, but whatever.
No, the main thing is you're having fun watching a John Waters classic.
Exactly.
And we're talking about it, so it's fine.
Exactly.
Oh, here we go.
See, I always...
Bust the bitch.
I always thought that if I was found with all my true crime books that they'd just automatically think I was a serial killer.
Marty, I still think that anyway.
To be fair, I was thinking that in the late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, I'm a trendsetter for everything, I'm just saying.
Mm. Is it me or does that priest look like Phil Donahue?
It does.
He does.
About to say the same.
Well, hasn't Troy Donahue been in a few John Waters movies? I mean, not Phil Donahue, but his brother Troy Donahue has.
Man, I used to love Donahue.
All standing. Donahue, Sally Jesse Raphael, Jerry Springer. They were the greatest. That was the greatest television ever.
Oh my God! It was just like, this is what you'd do if you didn't get to school.
Have you ever watched Jeremy Kyle?
I think no. I have seen something from that, but I do know the name. That's why I think maybe I have.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. That's you.
Ew.
Ew. snot on the baby's face. How funny.
They're just freaking out because they think Kathleen Turner's got COVID.
No.
that would be definitely today.
Yes. That's would be the reason why they're reacting today.
Well, I think, wasn't Troy Donahue in Crybaby?
He was, yes.
And wasn't he in another movie we watched for another podcast recently that featured twins were quite hilarious?
Well, he was in, Double Trouble, but he was also in Dr. Alien as well.
She's bigger than Freddy and Jason now. Okay. Horror icons.
I love it. I also want that car.
Oh, yeah. Stole my car. Is your wife a murderess? No comment.
Ricky Lake is so funny. He's loving it. Look at her. And Sam Waterston. Oh, God. They're so good.
You gotta love her.
They're so good. You know what movie I used to like and used to watch it a fair bit? Because I think I had the tape. Was Ricky Lake and Brendan Fraser in Mrs. Winterbourne.
Oh, yeah.
I like Mrs. Winterbourne.
I was actually thinking of that movie earlier, Marcy.
Here's Death Becomes Her, the poster.
I want that cutout of Death Becomes Her.
I want this whole video shop.
Yeah, true.
I know, I want that video shop too. Oh, here we go. Playing a classic movie on the screen. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
One of the best.
All right. I can confirm that Troy Donahue and Phil Donahue are not related. I thought they were, but clearly not.
Just because they have the same last name.
Although Troy Donahue was one of the inspirations for the character of Troy McClure from The Simpsons.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah, it does. Rewinding the tapes. Oh, I miss those days, rewinding the tapes.
See, for all our younger listeners out there, people used to go to video shops, and I actually worked at a video shop as my work experience in high school for 2 weeks. And that was like my favorite job ever for 2 weeks. pretty much what all the video shops did, if you didn't rewind your video, they'd actually had this little machine that actually would rewind the video back for you.
Yeah,
I love those rewinders. And they also clean, too. They also clean the tape.
Yep. Oh, man, I remember needing to, like, clean the VHS player.
I miss rewinding video cassettes.
I still have my VHS player somewhere. It still works. It's fine.
So do I. My sister uses it all the time. She watches VHS. She's old school. Here we go.
There's just something different about watching it on VHS.
It has that nostalgic feel to it. Nostalgic charm watching a VHS.
Yeah.
Here we go. One of the Columbia Pictures presents Annie.
It's weird that they're able to get the rights from a Columbia Pictures for a Universal Pictures movie.
Well, apparently they had to pay $60,000 for the right for this song because I've heard anyway. Oh, Sylvester the dog. Okay.
Is she eating a sandwich from Nilbog?
Yes.
It's all green and slimy.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, she cooked an entire lamb, only just cut one little bit off and just put it in a sandwich. Like, what
the
fuck?
Where she put some green slime on there. Ew.
Oh, dog licking its own feet. Have you ever had that done to you?
Oh, my dog loves licking feet, and it's just so, it's like, stop, don't do it.
Well, I've got a cat, so I don't have a dog, but I'd love to get a dog soon.
Oh, even my cats like cleaning. I'm like, I'll clean your feet. No, stop it.
Marcy, your cats would attack my feet, so.
Yeah, they do attack feet as well.
Oh, yeah, that is mine.
Garfield.
Yep, my Garfield.
Love the ginger kitties.
It was the first name that came to mind because it was Ginger. I thought, what the hell, I'll call him Garfield. I had another cat a while back, black and white, which has specific mustache, which I won't reveal the name to, but that's what I called it.
We'll use our imagination.
Here we go. Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, here we go. Another song that's been butchered by film. Of course, the first one being Singing in the Rain from A Clockwork Orange. And now this one. The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow. This is going to be... Oh, here we go. She grabs the leg of lamb now.
Distract the dog. She just kissed the dog, knowing the dog licked her feet. This is framed so well. It's just great. The way it's edited together is so good.
I love how it syncs. Every hit syncs to the beat of the song.
It does. It's so clever. It's just so well done.
Well, I'll say this. One of my favorite cliches in all movies is when a really dark, scene happens, it's like a very sort of happy, feel-good song is always played under it.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, like with Clockwork Orange singing in the rain, a horrendous rape sequence happens, and with Tomorrow, a murder happens, and the dog is eating the leg of lamb.
At least the dog is actually enjoying that lamb rather than cutting up a little piece for a sandwich.
Bede's like, she deserves that.
You know what? If you're not going to eat that whole entire lamb you just cooked, you probably deserve to die. You are probably a monster.
Oh, jeez.
Brown blood? Brown. I don't know what she saw, I saw red.
Yeah, it looked red to me, I don't know.
Also, Waylon's probably thinking, oh man, I wish Superman was here to save me right now.
I was about to say, for those of us who grew up watching Lois and Clark, he was Jimmy Olsen number two on that show.
Yes, he was Jimmy Olsen.
And for some reason, he was the lead in the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Indeed.
Oh, I know. That's shocker. Oh, here we go.
Oh!
Wear your seatbelt. It's the law.
I am, like, stunned. Like, she would have to make sure to hit her marks pretty well so that knife didn't actually hit him by mistake.
Yeah. But she's just so good, like...
Oh, yeah. Of course, she has to put her seatbelt on after carjacking a van.
After everything.
She's just the perfect mother in a way.
Dear God, I promise I'll never watch another sex film.
I promise I'll never watch another sex film again. Oh, please. Not even I believe that.
Don't make promises that you can't keep.
That's what you get for being a pervert. Oh, so funny. So delightful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was also the lead in Child's Play 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Completely forgot about that. Probably because it's the one I rewatched the least. Yeah, he was, teenaged Andy.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I love this now. I love it when you see the waving of Beverly.
Scotty.
Scotty. Here you go, the wave.
Oh, blows a kiss way. Yeah, you might want to go after her, kids and husband, man. That's such a cool car alarm.
When Karen's attack.
When Karen's attack. She really needs to speak to that manager.
Yes.
She's fucking nuts. She's
fucking nuts.
That should have been the tagline for this movie. She's armed and fucking nuts.
Fucking nuts.
Exactly.
I can't get over his hair, Bede. Why'd you have to point out his weird hair?
Well, it's not my fault that he has hair like that. It looks like it's all stuck in place.
I have no idea. I wonder if his hair is still like that.
It probably is. I'm going to look up Justin Whalen today and find out.
Yeah.
Because I will laugh my ass off if his hair is still exactly the same.
I mean, I don't think he's acted for quite a few years now, so I'm not really sure what he's doing.
Oh, he has?
Doing.
Oh, God,
no. Yeah.
Hey,
Monica, let me in. Hey, ID. Can I give it to you inside?
Hey, buddy, nobody gets in without ID.
Oh, Hammerjacks.
December 14th, 1972. Please!
Oh god, mine's
okay. Okay, I think I found the most recent photo of Justin Whalen, and oh my gosh, his hair is almost exactly
the same. It's the same.
He still looks the same, really.
I mean, yeah, he's obviously older, but he's still got that boyish look about him.
Yeah, L7 as the band Camel Lips. I love their lips right now. You see them.
Oh, our favourite camel toes.
Oh, it's Cereal Mom. Let her in.
Yeah.
Serial mom.
Is she in the band?
Camel Lip should be Bede's favourite band. He loves the camel toe.
Indeed.
Oh, you like the camel toe, do you? Okay.
Yes. I'm not going to confirm or deny that. Well, according to his Wikipedia page, the last movie that Justin Whalen was in was 12 years ago. And his last TV show he was in was back in 1998.
Wow.
Yeah, so he hasn't been in anything since.
I think we need the resurgence.
Exactly.
Oh, the mosh pit. Who's ever been... Have either of you done crowd surfing?
I think I
might have tried to attempt once, but I was too scared that if I did it, people would actually drop me.
Drop me, yeah, that's how I felt as well. I've been in a mosh pit, but I've never experienced crowd surfing.
Yeah, kind of been in a mosh, and I'm way too short to be in a mosh. Where my head is against most people, it's at their, like, elbow, and I don't need no black eyes from people elbowing me in the face accidentally, so...
Oh, Sam... Oh, there's Sam Worthington getting crowd surfed.
Here we go.
Probably the best murder in the whole film.
It's amazing.
She's going after Justin Whalen like Russell Crowe does in Unhinged.
yeah. Buckle up, Scotty.
That's what he got for starring in Dungeons Buckle and Dragons.
Up. Yeah. That's...
Buckle up, Scotty.
Not his hair.
Not his beautiful hair. There was so much hairspray in it, it became overly flammable.
Yay, we're watching murder on screen.
Watching murder live.
Yeah.
Holy fucking shit.
She just set a dude on fire. I mean, clearly you could see it was a stunt person.
And of course, Danita Sparks from L7 has to add fuel to the fire.
Yes.
Literally.
The camel toe pants are the funniest thing ever.
I love them.
Those are just like skivvies.
Skivvies as pants.
Yes. They're so tight, you can see everything.
Well, they're purposely like that, so...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you just murdered someone in front of, a couple of hundred people.
But, to be fair, this was the 90s. They didn't care about that stuff back then.
No, not really.
That's true.
I mean, she's apparently the hero this town needed.
Gibbies are back.
In the band is cheering on Serial Mom. You gotta love it.
Moral of the story is we always have to support our serial killers.
Apparently.
Indeed.
Allegedly.
5 months later.
And since, Sam Waterson's in this movie, he's going to be the lawyer because he's from, Law and Order.
Yeah.
I trained for months to be a lawyer for this movie.
It's how he got his role in Law and Order. I mean, I have no idea. I'm just assuming.
Exactly.
Isn't he coming back for a new Law and Order?
The show just finished its 21st season. He's back.
He's a very prolific actor.
Oh, he is. He ever starred in a few Woody Allen films. I think he did one movie with Woody Allen called September. One of his best films.
Yeah, and also he's an Oscar nominee as well.
Yes.
For the Killing Fields.
Yeah.
Patty Hearst.
Of course. You are accused of multiple murders.
This is a court of law, not a coffee clutch. Not a coffee clutch?
What is a coffee clutch?
Oh, I'm gathering a coffee gathering. I'm not sure.
I'm going to look up what a coffee clutch is.
Okay.
Because I am the... the research man on this show.
Yes, and if people listening don't actually know who Patty Hearst is, Google that.
Exactly. That was, I mean, there's... To even sort of talk about Patty Hearst, it's a completely long story. We don't have time for that, so please just go research it yourself.
Yeah.
Or if you want to watch a movie based on Patty Hearst, watch the movie Patty Hearst by Paul Schrader. That's a good one.
Fair point. Yeah.
Exactly.
Very fair point. A toppled air
conditioner. She's telling the juror that clean your nose.
I can't deal with it. It's so good right now.
Okay, so according to the website, Taste of Home, the term coffee klatsch comes from the German word klaffee klatsch, which translates to coffee and gossip.
Oh, wow. She really gets a bit pissed off with those shoes, eh?
Of course, it's after Labor Day, and what can't you do? What can't you do after Labor Day?
You do not wear them white shoes.
Exactly.
That's right. Mm. You don't wear white shoes after Labor Day.
Definitely do not.
But she's Australian. She didn't know any better.
She's so good in this whole movie.
Look, Bureau 8 is wearing white shoes after Labor Day. God.
What does that... I mean, I know I've heard of this thing for so long, but what does that mean? Why is that a thing? Bede, you're the researcher. Look this up.
Apparently, you can't wear white after Labor Day. I don't know. I personally don't know. Bede, you're the researcher.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, because we've seen that in, like, movies and TV shows, but as Australians, I guess it goes over our head. We don't know, like, what that actually refers to, what it means. Does it reset every year that you can't do it? I don't know.
Okay. All right. Here's what I got here. This is what I checked in Google. According to Google...
Can I wait 1 second. Why does Matthew Lillard look like he's dressed as a Black Panther?
I was going to say that before, but I didn't want to mention it.
He really does.
He does look like...
Oh, because...
Yeah, sorry. Someone got cut off.
And also, Kathleen Turner looks like she's dressed up as Barbara Bush.
But anyway... Before you mention why she's after Labor Day, sorry, Bede, just got to watch this beautiful war.
Yes.
Donnie Hinkle coming to the stand. Oh, that walk.
Love
so
her
iconic.
Outfit, too. It's so good. She's really just... She can't handle anything after the Pussy Willows.
No.
All right. So according to Google, I found, wearing white represented that you could afford to get out of the city and vacation elsewhere when summer ended. Since Labor Day typically represents the end of summer, a rule was established that you shouldn't wear white after Labor Day if you didn't have any money to take fall or winter vacations.
I get it. So basically, right. When you do that, you just look like you're top shit and better than everyone else. So just don't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Got ya.
Yeah.
Here we go. One of my favorite moments is coming up now.
I can't stop looking at Kathleen Turner. She legit looks like Barbara Bush right now.
She does.
It's the pearls, isn't it?
Yes, it's the pearls, it's the dress, it's the hair. I'm going to find out, because I'm going to find a picture of Barbara Bush that's going to prove this.
Oh, here we go. My favorite moment right now. Did you hear that? She just said, fuck you to me. Oh, God.
Kathleen Turner's character is just a woman after my own heart.
Yes.
Oh, I know. No, I'm not, you motherfucker! No, I'm not, you motherfucker. I love it.
Oh, she's just so good. big fucker. Oh, God.
Okay.
There's that wink.
Oh, cereal mom t-shirt. Here we go. Oh, the Kennedy kid trial, good God. She's Beverly Sutphen and she's my mom. Oh, God.
So that bit with when she was in the van and she waved to the family, that was actually improvised. And John Waters didn't notice until afterwards.
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Perfect.
Your
mom killed my brother.
You call his brother, right?
That's right.
I'm sorry, he's dead.
But have you seen this is interesting. The video store that we saw earlier in the film, that's actually John Waters' actual video store. He actually owns it.
Oh, really?
Oh, awesome.
Who's going to play my brother? Doesn't really care that he's dead now, clearly.
No, all he cares about is who's playing him. Jason Priestley.
Because Suzanne Somers is going to play Serial Mom. Miss Hodges.
Of course. Wearing white. Still driving her crazy.
She doesn't like it. She doesn't approve of this. She's like, what a...
No.
She's just like, she thinks she's all. Top shit and I don't approve of this. We're learning all sorts of things during this movie. It was just
blue. We are.
It's so good.
Like blue.
Blue. Bede, how you doing with that Barbara Bush photo?
Well, I did find photos, but I wanted to find if there was like similar hair.
There's Mary Vivian Pierce, one of the original Dreamlanders. Cotton from Pink Flamingos and also Donna Dasher from Female Trouble and Princess Cuckoo from Desperate Living. She's in every John Waters film also.
He does use a lot of the same people and, as you mentioned before, like behind the scenes as well.
Oh, yeah, of
which
course.
I think just kind of helps with like everything. When you watch a John Waters film, you know it's a John Waters film. It's so...
course
it really has that distinct style, like as we mentioned, this is a studio film, but whether it is a studio film or independent, like it is a film, it is one of his films.
Here we go.
I'm going in from The Simpsons, where she was Barbara Bush was featured on The Simpsons.
Yes. Yes, it does look like her when she was on the Barbara Bush as The Simpsons.
Yeah. Yes. Chicks with dicks. Good God. Never judge a person by what they read. Couldn't agree more.
So why did they point that out for? I mean, clearly the man's a fetishist, but...
Oh, yes.
Oh, the 90s. I call to the stand
Rosemary Ackerman. Gotta love the 90s.
Okay, now that scream we heard earlier, not the Willem scream, but the other one, it actually does have a name. It's called the Howie scream.
The Howie scream. Called.
The Howie scream, okay. Was it, was Serial Mom the first film that had that scream? I'm sure it was.
No.
I could be wrong.
I'm going to look. Now I'm curious about the Howie scream. I'm going to look this up.
Yeah, look it up, because I want to know where it's from.
Yeah, because all those screams come from somewhere, you know, like, I know, like, the Willem scream actually did come from a very early film.
From the 40s.
Yeah.
It was a film from the 40s. I forgot what it was called, but...
The Willem scream. Oh, okay. The Howie scream, also known as the Howie long scream or gut-wrenching scream of that, is frequently used in film and TV... TV and video game stock sound effects scream, often compared to the Willem scream. Its prominence in a number of movies was launched with a few nicknames such as the Howie Long scream. in reference to Howie Long's character's death scene in the film Broken Arrow. But it appears to have originated from a fight scene in the 1980 film The Knife Configuration.
Oh, yes. That's right. And I've seen The Knife Configuration just recently. Yes, that you are right about
Maybe
that.
That's why it was fresh in your mind as well. I can't speak English today.
And the Willem scream was first came about in the 1951 film Distant Drums.
Ah, 1951. Okay.
Close enough. Like, I assumed it was the 40s as well. Oh, there's Miss Summers.
She just arrived. Mrs. Ann Summers.
Yeah, I want to see The Ninth Configuration. It does sound like an interesting film.
It's good. It's good. Ninth Configuration is amazing. William Peter Blatty, you know, like The Exorcist, of course. He wrote and directed The Ninth Configuration. That was just... Based on his book Twinkle Twinkle Killer Kane, but it was a good film. Very different.
The list.
Well, I do have that movie on Blu-ray, Marcy. I might have to lend it to you.
Yeah, you'll have to. I sniff jury's underpants. What?
Ew.
I sniff jury's underpants. Lovely. Where this guy? He just loves writing filth and graffiti.
He's
so funny. Hey, Saturday, May 15th was the other day.
That's what I mean.
Wasn't on
like
a Saturday,
2 days ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Suzanne Summers.
She's been there a little while, B. You're not paying attention.
Well, I have been researching for the last 20 minutes, Marcy.
Here's the scene that men love. And I think you might like it too, Marcy, no doubt.
this is funny.
What do you mean you're not sure? Open and close. Open and close.
She's a genius with how she does everything. It's so funny.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, we're about to get a basic. We're gonna get a basic instinct moment going on here.
Open, close. Open, close.
I've never seen myself in my life. You'll pay for this, Marvin Pickles.
Flush the legs. She's done.
No one but him was looking under that desk.
Why does nobody else notice it? Like the judge?
Not even the
anyone
not
else?
Not even the judge. Yes.
Nobody
or the
notices.
Jury or no one.
The prosecution has proven nothing, Your Honor.
The defense rests also.
She's so good, she's her own defender. It's amazing.
The moral of the story is if you're a rich white woman, you can get away with murder.
Indeed.
If you manipulate the the witnesses and jury, anything is possible.
Yeah, exactly. And hello, Suzanne Summers.
There she is. Henrietta Lee Lucas.
Henrietta Lee Lucas. Joan Wayne Gacy. God. A new face in the deck of serial killer trading cards. I actually like that quote.
All six counts. No doubt there are many serial killer playing cards out there. I'm sure there's plenty.
Surprising, actually.
A feminist heroine. Absolutely. She's just there, like, standing there, like, now, as I look like Barbara Bush, as portrayed in The Simpsons.
Yes.
Find me innocent.
Yeah, I like that. That's the reason why Suzanne Summers is there, is researching for an upcoming movie on Serial Mom.
Oh, well done, Suzanne Summers. You're very good.
Meanwhile, 2 days later.
Wonderful performance.
Just
the verdict. Here we go.
Starring Paul Newman. Oh, wait, sorry, wrong movie.
She's still wearing white.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she's still wearing white shoes.
She's very upset.
Well, it was Labor Day a few days ago. Get over it, woman.
If it's in October, when the hell's Labor Day in America?
Well, I mean, is their Labor Day different compared to our many Labor Days?
I'm coming home.
I'm going to win an Oscar for playing you.
Where was her Oscar for this movie, seriously?
Oh, well, to be fair, this movie bombed when it came out.
It did. It did bomb, unfortunately.
It cost about $13 million to make, and then it only made $8 million
because
at the box office.
Because people are really, really just like, how dare you not watch this movie?
See, this is what John Waters should have done. He should have made it into a musical.
Mm.
And he probably still could.
If he wanted to. Serial Mom musical.
Ah, here we go. Don't get on. Who does your hair?
Oh, she's still pissed with those white shoes.
I like that there's a dude there with an old-fashioned camera, like the ones from, like, the early... Like from the 20s and 30s, you know, the big sort of light bulb ones.
Here we go.
You can't wear white shoes after Labor Day.
Mm.
That's
not true anymore. Yes, it is. Didn't your mother tell you?
Bow.
Bam, bitch went down. No,
please. Please, fashion has changed.
Have you seen Serial Mom? She still dresses like the 1950s.
Exactly.
I don't blame her because that fashion is amazing.
Warning, Suzanne Summers, don't wear white after Labor Day.
Don't get her bad side.
Mm.
Smile, Serial Mom.
Suzanne Summers, this is my bad side. Oh. She's wearing red on her white shoes!
He got red on you. That face.
Beverly Sutton refused to cooperate with the making of this film.
I bet she did.
I love the credits. You don't see the name Beverly or Eugene, you just see Mum and Dad,
yeah.
That was fun.
What a great film. What a great cast. Just so good and enjoyable. It really is.
It was. I loved it.
Mm.
I love this film. I can watch it over and over again.
Yeah. I'm so glad I got to rewatch it after having not seen it for quite a long time. And thank you to everybody who took part in our May, not June, poll on our Facebook group. If you're listening, you can check out our Facebook group. If you go to, I think the address is facebook.com/groups/thesupernetworkgroup. So do that, and we'll, as the credits roll, we'll do our usual little bit of self-promotion as we do. So you can find us at supermarcy.com, or you can look up the Super Podcast or the Super Network in your podcast streamer or your podcast player, and all of our links and social media things are found on our link tree, which is just the easiest place to get all the links to find everything. It is linktr.ee/thesupernetwork, and if you want to check me out online, do say hello. I'm on Twitter at twitter.com/supermarcy. And you can check me out on my Letterboxd at super_Marcy. Bede, where can people check you out if they want to online?
Well, if people want to find me personally, they can find me in my Twitter page at twitter.com/BedeJamine, or my Letterboxd account at letterboxd.com/BedeJamine. And of course, you can find all my work over at supermarcy.com with all my reviews and columns.
Excellent. And Tony, where can people find Imprint Cast and all of that good stuff?
You can find the Imprint Films Blu-ray Collection fan group and the Imprint Cast groups on Facebook. And of course, if you want to follow me on Letterboxd, it's FilmNut79 from Letterboxd. And yes, if you want to listen to our podcast, please do. If you have an obsession, if you love physical media, listen to Imprint Cast, and well, that's all we talk about, great movies on Blu-ray. Now, Marcy and Bede, I can't thank you enough for inviting me to this episode. It was great.
Aww.
Makes well, me we're so glad you enjoyed yourself.
Yes. No, it was an absolute pleasure. It was really, really good to just rewatch this film with yous. And yeah, people, be sure to check out Imprint Cast, even if Imprint isn't in your part of the world. I'm sure that many people do get them sent over, and might be something you know, want to check out, because I have a lot of films on their label.
They do ship worldwide, so no problem there.
Yeah, and I think places like Zavi stock the Imprint stuff, from what I understand.
They do.
Yeah. So definitely
they do, but worth
checking out. But yeah, obviously, yeah. Probably costs a little bit more because I have to import it, but
yeah, there's one box in particular which I won't mention now. I'll tell you afterwards. It's not pleasant, but
Yeah, I am very much looking forward to what Imprint has coming up.
Here we go. To the end of the credits. No flies were injured or killed in the making of this motion picture. That's good to know.
Well, we did see what happened to that fly, but it did look like a bit too much blood going on. And yeah, there's no extra scene in this, is there? That would have been hilarious if after the credits rolled and it's just serial mom strikes again. Well, that...
Oh, no. I always watch credits. There's nothing on this one.
Yeah, no, I've had that. We generally do when we do the episodes anyway. But, yeah, that was loads of fun. Thank you once again for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you on the show or to podcast with you in general. And, yeah, peeps, check out Imprint Cast and check out, obviously, all the Super Network podcasts and check out my After Dark show also. Tony will be joining me in the coming weeks for a very interesting episode there. So, yeah.
Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, me too. I'm all getting myself prepared. We have so many things to prepare for, but I'm doing it.
Strong. We do.
And with that said, we'll catch you later, everybody. Goodbye.
See you, everybody.
Have a good
Bye.
One. Bye.
Meanwhile, this small Baltimore suburb Please! Keeps getting smaller and smaller.
It's been a crazy day, hasn't it?
Savoy Pictures asks the burning question,
is your wife mental?
Is Beverly Sutphen just a sweet suburban housewife?
I don't know what it is about today, but I feel great. Cookie?
Or is she Serial Mom.
Cool. Is she in a band?
Kathleen Turner, Sam Waterston, and Ricky Lake. Serial Mom. Every woman wants to be wanted. Just not for Murder One.
Beverly, I've read all about this.
Is it menopause?
Bad of the bone. Bad of the bone.
Bad of the bone.
The Super Network is proudly sponsored by Surfshark VPN. Why would you have a VPN in this day and age? Well, a lot of people are quite concerned about tracking and their online privacy, and using a VPN ensures that you are safe and secure online. Surfshark VPN provides a lot of extra added layers of security, as well as ad blocker and a kill switch if your information is ever compromised.
A great bonus feature with having Surfshark is something is not available on your streaming service in your country. You just pop on that Surfshark VPN and you can probably find so much more streaming in different countries. If you want to find something like Masters of Horror, it is available on Tubi, so just select the correct country and you'll be able to watch such a great and fantastic show.
Surfshark VPN is one of the most reliable and cheapest of the VPNs out there, with up to 81% off offer when you subscribe for 24 months. Please use the link surfshark.deals/supernetwork to take advantage of this amazing deal.
You can also find the link in the show notes.
Thank you, Surfshark. Surfy shark do 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 do. Surfy shark do 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 do.
And now back to the show.